education officials in Michigan are crunching the numbers this month following the statewide student count day back on October 1st. The biannual count determines the state's per-pupil funding allocation. Financially, it's in every school district's best interest to turn out as many students as possible on that single day, but teachers and administrators across the state continue to struggle to fund mandatory programs. Not surprisingly, there's a lot of rhetoric on the campaign trail about school funding, but what does the data show? Here to talk about that is Craig Thiel. Craig's a senior research associate with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan, a nonpartisan organization that studies public policy issues. And Craig joins us as part of Current State's monthly check-in with the CRC. You've got a new report out in which you cover this whole thing. This is the October edition, correct?
That's correct, Mark.
CRCMichigan.org is where you can find the whole report. Well, as we all know, the claim being tossed around this year is that Governor Rick Snyder has cut nearly $1 billion from the public education budget since he took office 4 years ago. That was the opening question that kicked off the town hall-style forum last Sunday between Governor Snyder and challenger Mark Schauer, the former Democratic congressman. We got some tape from that event. First, Mark Schauer.
There are some verifiable sources you can look to. The Senate Fiscal Agency. His first budget cut $930 million from our public schools. Now, he even told the Kalamazoo Gazette at that time, when he was visiting there, that those cuts would be difficult. He's right. His cuts to the classroom, the per pupil foundation grant, he cut $300 per pupil. That hurts our kids. They're in more crowded classrooms. Teachers don't have the materials they need. Basic programs have been eliminated.
And for the record, here is Governor Rick Snyder's reply.
The year before I became governor, the state budget for K-12 was $10.6 billion. That's a number that doesn't change. The budget I just signed into law was $11.7 billion. So the budget I just signed is more than $1 billion higher than the year before I took office. If you take those 3 years in between and look at those budgets, it's $1.1 billion in a cumulative fashion more than if you would have taken that 10.6 each and every year. That's not an argument, an item you can dispute.
So Craig Thiel, what does the data show? Is Michigan school funding up or down compared to 4 years ago?
Well, thanks for having us, Mark. I, along with a number of other organizations, have done the fact-checking on this, and the numbers just can't substantiate a billion-dollar cut. Our report that's being released this morning on this topic confirms what other fact-checkers have found, and that's, you know, the budget that was in place the year before the Snyder administration took office in 2011 was that $10.6 billion figure, and the last budget that Governor Snyder signed into law was $11.7 billion. So that is a nominal increase of $1 billion and not a cut in any way.
What about the $930 million cut that Mark Schauer refers to?
Right, and so that did not include a number of one-time appropriations that were put into the budget that year, including monies for the retirement fund. And I hope we can talk a little bit about that, because that's some of the backstory with where this additional $1 billion has gone.
A big part of this is how the money that was appropriated got spent, and we'll get to that in a minute, but continue.
Right. And so there were some other dollars that were put in one-time nature for different programs that the state wanted local districts to take part in, best practices to encourage them to adopt certain financial and reporting information, some performance funding. So when it was all told, the first-year budget went down marginally, but over the entire four-year period, there was a billion-dollar increase in funding to K-12.
You answer two other questions in your latest report, which I will re-add, can be read at crcmichigan.org. Has education funding gone up as much as it could have? What did you conclude there?
You know, that was the second question that we thought would help kind of fill out the narrative on this debate, this political debate. And really, education funding doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's part of a larger discussion at the state capitol, taking into account other budget decisions and tax policy decisions. And when we looked at what happened in the Snyder's first year with the tax overhaul and then some budget decisions that followed, we realized that about $1 billion of revenue that would have gone to the school aid fund and presumably to K-12 schools was lost either through the tax rewrite, and that was the elimination of the Michigan business tax and replacement with the corporate income tax, and then some changes on the personal income tax side. Most people are familiar with the pension exemption, getting rid of that. So that piece of the pie hit the school aid fund to the tune of about $600 million. So there was $600 million that had those changes not taken place, probably would have gone into the school aid fund and gone to K-12 schools. And then as part of Governor Snyder's first budget in 2012, there was a budget decision made to fund part of the higher ed appropriations. These are the state dollars that are going to the public universities, Michigan State, U of M, as well as the community college, to the tune of about $400 million. So all told, about $1 billion that would have gone presumably to K-12 schools were kind of taken out of the school aid fund.
And third, are individual school districts better off today than they were 4 years ago? That sounds like a tough one to answer.
Yeah, and that's the question I think that is really at the heart of the matter here. And that one, you know, a clear, definitive answer isn't is available. And that's not a question I think that either of the candidates are really addressing straightforward. School funding is a complex beast, and it's a function of that per pupil foundation allowance, but it's also a function of the number of students that are enrolled each year. And what we found in our research, and it's reported in our paper, that a number of school districts, the vast majority, in fact, are dealing with annual enrollment declines. And when those enrollment declines decrease, they see a net reduction in their overall funding. So when we look compared to 4 years ago, with the declining enrollment factored in, a number of school districts have fewer dollars to operate programs because of those declining enrollment figures.
Craig Thiel is our guest from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. He joins us monthly to tackle a policy issue that's being talked about here in the state of Michigan. As you mentioned, Craig, count day was 2 weeks ago. Are we starting to see any data yet on the total student count?
Anecdotally, we hear of school administrators talking about where they were relative to their budget assumptions, and I think that's key because there are school districts that have been in this declining enrollment mode for some time, and so they're projecting further enrollment declines. If they hit those projections, things tend to work out okay for the budget that they've adopted. It's when they miss those enrollment projections that problems can develop. But from what I've seen anecdotally, the school districts in the area are hitting their assumptions. We won't know the final count until a few months from now. There's a strict auditing process that takes place because a lot, is involved with this, a lot of dollars.
We'll point out, just as a matter of policy, that the October count makes up 90% of annual funding. The February 2015 count will make up the remaining 10%. So that's how that's weighted. How might the final data impact districts that may have overestimated their enrollment? Let's assume a district is in that pickle, that they have fewer students enrolled than they anticipated. Do you have a handle on what added financial burdens they might be facing?
Right. So, you know, school districts get this count in October. They have a good sense of where they might be relative to budget projections at that point. If they're missing their mark, it's important that they start to look real closely at, you know, how they can right-size the budget before that February count with, some of the school year already being in the back, and we've passed it, and opportunities to make adjustments have went by. It's important to make those adjustments soon rather than waiting to the very end. The state requires that school districts end the year in the black and not in the red. So if you get to late spring and, you know, your numbers are off and you have to make some cuts, if those can't come, you may end up with a deficit budget. And that really then brings in a whole host of other factors, including some oversight by the state of Michigan.
Do you follow how those adjustments play out on the ground? Does that mean making eliminating curriculum? Does that mean, how does that play out?
Generally, unless there's wide swings in enrollment, there's probably not mid-year layoffs. But I think we might see tweaking on the budgets on the margin, more or less. It's definitely going to put a pause on any future hiring plans that might be in the works. School districts have to be pretty nimble when it comes to, working with the state aid program that we have and the way that, funding can change, kind of midstream.
Craig Thiel is our guest of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. We're talking about school funding, and they deal with that in their latest report, which is available today at crcmich.org. What about districts that underestimated their enrollment? Are they in a correspondingly rosy situation here?
I think the last 10 years have made school districts very cautious and not to, overpromise. I think they welcome the additional resources that might come with a underestimated enrollment projection, but I don't think they're going to become spendthrifts instantly and open the books.
It's way too variable a situation from year to year, or even month to month. The funding situation has forced many public school districts to pool resources and in some number of cases to consolidate. How has that been working out? Do you watch that at CRC?
Yes, we've looked at it. Voluntary consolidations aren't very many in number. There's been a few in recent years, notably Willow Run and Ypsilanti, both school districts that were dealing with declining enrollment and fiscal problems, and it was thought that joining forces, they'd be able to maybe bump up the educational offerings, draw back students that maybe left those districts, and maybe improve the financial picture. But outside of a few examples, voluntary consolidations really aren't that common. The state's been encouraging school districts to look at that as an option. Some of the challenges, I think, for school districts is generally they're looking to consolidate when things aren't going so well, and they may not be a really great partner when other districts are nearby thinking to take on someone else's problems.
Mm. Michigan, we got less than a minute here, Craig. I'll point that out. Michigan has also seen a big rise in charter schools. What impact is the state funding landscape, environment, let's say, that we've been talking about? What impact is that having on charter schools?
Well, it's definitely impacted the enrollment situation. I like to think of the K-12 student population as a pie, and as the statewide enrollments have declined because of birth rate issues and migration, out-migration, the pie is kind of shrinking in size, and at the same time that pie is shrinking, we see the number of slices in terms of school districts expanding with charters. And so it's just logical, mathematically, the case that, the slices are becoming smaller. So definitely charters have contributed to declining enrollment, but also choice between districts. So crossing district boundaries and leaving your home district for another district has contributed to declining enrollment.
Craig Thiel's a senior research associate with the Citizens Research Council of Michigan and a member of the CRC, joins Current State once a month to check in on a policy issue going on here in Michigan. Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.